My name is Brenda Kranick. I'm the Marketing Director for the Greater Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Brenda, what a delight to come to Green Bay. I've heard about it, flown over it, landed here, but never spent time here. And it's been a delight.
Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed it. We're that little city in the United States that, you know, hey, we host a national football team. And that's really something different for a community of 100,000.
It really is. I don't think there's anywhere else in America that has a story to equal Green Bay and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and you know, we're known internationally even because of the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And people come from all over the country and the world to fulfill their bucket list mm-hmm. of visiting Lambeau Field, going to a Green Bay Packers game.
My name is Candy Connard.
Candy Connard, and here we are at Lambeau Field
yeah.
in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Kind of the mothership, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It is. It's the beginning. In the beginning was Lambeau Field. Actually, it wasn't called Lambeau Field, but it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Tell us about Mr. Lambeau, because he's the one that made the Green Bay Packers.
He really is. When I tell this story on tour, I always talk about my favorite player that I never met, and I never even saw him play, and I never even saw a film of him playing. But he's my favorite player because he's the guy that had the dream that he never let go to play football at this level. And there were a lot of challenges along the way, but he persevered, and he is really a good role model for us today, but also he in Green Bay, he's the founder of the Packers, and he was just a young kid when he did it, which is absolutely fascinating to me.
Pretty much single-handedly, his
yeah.
vision,
yeah.
And this is what, 1919?
19. That's why we named our restaurant the 1919. So, yep, do you want me to tell you the story?
A little bit,
a
yeah.
A little bit
kinda,
about it?
Yeah, and how it kind of collapsed and then got saved. Yeah.
Okay, so when Curly went to high school in Green Bay, East High School, and he was a great athlete. He was one of those kids that was really good at multiple sports, but his heart was football, man. That's all he wanted to do. So when he graduated from high school, he wanted to go to a university that would let freshmen make the varsity football team. And not many schools did at that time. That's why he ended up going to Notre Dame. And he did try out for the varsity football team. He did make it, and he played his freshman year for a coach named Newt Rockne. Huh, what a great opportunity. And he did he had a wonderful year. And he came home at semester break, and he got sick. And he got sick with tonsillitis. Now, today, that's no big deal. But then, it was often a death sentence, or you had a really long recovery time. And Curly had a long recovery time, so long that he didn't go back to school for second semester. And he had to get a job, got a job in Green Bay as a shipping clerk for a company named Indian Packing, which became Acme Packing. Anyway, the people that worked in this organization, all they did was pack meat and fish all day. So they had a nickname for themselves. They called themselves Packers. And that's where that came from.
I love it. I love it.
And even Curly called himself a Packer. But anyway, so he had a good job. He had $250 a month, which was almost twice what most people made. He had a girlfriend. No motivation to go back to school, but he still wanted to play football, obviously. So there were some minor leagues playing in the area, in the American Professional Football League, and there were just some things starting up, and he wanted to start a team. But how does a kid 19 years old start a football team? I wouldn't have a clue even at my age. But anyway, he connected with this sports writer named George Calhoun, who knew Curly from high school. And he told George of his dream, and together they came up with a plan on how to start a team in Green Bay. They ran an ad in the newspaper, and the ad said, if you want to play football in Green Bay, be at the Press Gazette office at 7 p.m., August 11th, 1919. And 24 guys in Curly showed up, and that's how the Packers started. And then this kid, 2 years out of high school, went to his boss at Acme, and he asked for startup money for uniforms and equipment to join that league. And they said, yeah, okay, just put our name on the shirts. So have you ever seen Acme Packer shirts, the throwback shirts? Have you ever seen
them?
They're navy blue and gold. That's what the Packers were for a long time. Notre Dame's colors. That's where that came from.
Interesting.
Oh, I know. So anyway, they play in that league and just beat everybody like crazy because they were good. But the league was not good. It folded after a year. But out of it formed a new league in Canton, Ohio, the NFL. So Curly wanted to buy a franchise for his team in that NFL. And the franchise fee was $250. So he went back to his boss. Now he's 4 years out of high school, 21 maybe, right? So he went back to his boss and he asked his boss for the franchise fee, $250. And they said no. They gave up ownership of the Packers for $250. And Curly took his own money and bought a franchise for the Packers in the NFL. You know, the Houston Texans were the last team to come into the NFL. Do you know what their franchise fee was?
I was going to ask you.
$700 million.
Wow.
We should have bought two.
Yeah.
Anyway, just kidding.
Yeah, so anyway. Moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward, sorry. No. I'll take you on a rabbit trail every once in a while.
It's good stuff.
Anyway, so here's Curly. He's what, 21, 22, and he owns an NFL team. So that means he's the owner, the fundraiser, the general manager, the coach, and the star player. Oh, and at the end of the first year, you know what else he is? In big trouble. Big debt. Can't pay the guys, can't pay the bills, $5,000 in debt. We're going to be one and done. But four businessmen in Green Bay offered to help Curly come up with a plan. And they did, and it was genius. They basically did two things. The first thing they did is they formed a nonprofit corporation. That's why we have a board of directors, an executive committee, and bylaws that govern us. And the initial bylaws say there'll never be a single owner of the Green Bay Packers. And then that newly formed board had the first shareholder sale. They sold 1,000 shares for $5 each, bailed the team out of debt, put us on the course for success. And that is what saved us, too, that being publicly owned and that nonprofit status.
And you are a shareholder.
I am a shareholder. You are right.
And it's been in your family since 1950?
Yep, since 1950. Yep, that's right.
Well, let's jump forward only because of time.
Okay.
And come to the here and now, and let's talk about how the nonprofit model permeates everything to do with the Green Bay Packers. That's a mind-blowing story.
Do you like that part, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's so rare.
It is so rare. So that means that because we're nonprofit, that means that we don't have an owner. So we have a board of directors, and we have over 360,000 shareholders. I'm a shareholder, but that was a one-time donation. You have to remember that as well. But as a shareholder, I come to the board of directors meeting on an annual basis, me and 12,000 to 15,000 of my favorite closest friends. But anyway, and we come, and the meeting is in the bowl here at Lambeau Field. But prior to that, we have an opportunity to vote by proxy online for board members, yay or nay, and we can even recommend them. That is what we get as shareholders. But the Packers, because we are nonprofit, we have to generate our own income. So consequently, that is why our stadium closes 2 days a year, Christmas and Easter. We have tons of events that happen here all the time, every day of the week, in every little nook and cranny of this place. And Packers are now building the Titletown Sports District to the west of us, and that'll help as well.
Let's just stick right here in the stadium. I understand that even how the stadium gets cleaned is fascinating.
Yes. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
So, two things. So, all of the concession stands are operated by volunteers and nonprofit organizations. So, it takes about 22 people to man one concession stand per game. And then the organization contracts with the Packers for all 10 home games and events, special events. So they keep a percentage of what they make for their organization. So it's a really win-win situation. They're really a big fundraiser for them. And then after the game, so the game is, let's say we're going to have a Sunday evening game, okay? So we're going to come to work in the morning, and the Packers staff, the first thing they do is they go through the stadium and they pick up all the valuables. So credit cards, driver's license, purse, whatever, all the valuables. They bring them in here and they call everybody. They try to contact every person individually. They catalog them and keep them here. As soon as school's out, 3:30, people come in to the stadium and they start cleaning it out. We have
all the trash.
Uh-huh, all the trash. They pick up the seats that you can rent and pick up all the trash. And these would be like, I'll say like the football team from Preble High School. And then the Packers will donate money to Preble for what the kids did in the stadium. So that's how we clean it out.
That is so cool.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's.
Yeah.
I've never encountered this anywhere.
Yeah, but everybody is involved. Now let's talk about another thing. So, you know, we get a lot of snow here. So, a game Sunday, the word goes out in Green Bay, radio, TV, texting, that we need shovelers at Lambeau Field. We've got to shovel out the stadium, and you got to be here Saturday morning doors are going to open at 7. So 5 o'clock, hundreds and hundreds of people are lined up outside. They take in, what, about 400 to 500 people to shovel the stadium. They shovel the benches off. They shovel the snow to the aisles. They have aluminum slides that slide the snow down to the field. Front loaders pick it up and take it out in the parking lot.
This is all volunteer?
No, they get $10 cash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they used to pay by check, but people didn't cash their checks.
Oh.
So now they have to pay cash. But anyway, so some folks will come in and shovel for an hour or two just to be in the stadium. Uh-huh. And there are still people lined up for hours afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, cool. Tell us some more. This is a great story.
I know. There are a lot of stories.
This is a town of, what,
104,000.
104,000 people.
Yeah.
And you have, like, what, 300 hotel rooms or something?
4,700. 300, yeah. 4,700. Yeah. And we have, okay, so this isn't, I'll give you, I don't, numbers, you know, usually don't stick with people, but maybe these will. So we have 104,000 people in Green Bay. We have 81,441 seats in the stadium.
Right.
Every one of these seats, including special needs as a season ticket, all sold out since 1960. Okay, and we have over 130,000 people on the waiting list for tickets. So
wow.
Those are just three numbers that I think might be kind of interesting.
They're beyond interesting.
Yeah.
Talk about loyal fans.
Yeah, the Packers are just so much a part of our economy. And some a number of the players live here year-round. And it's a good place to be.
Wow. You know what?
What?
I'm coming back for more.
You should do that. You should come and come to a game.
I want to.
You bring your wife and take a tour with me.
I'd
love to meet her.
Oh, you guys would ditch me.
It would be really, really good. Yeah, it would be great.
I love it. Candy, thank you so much
for sharing. You're welcome.
It
was great to have you.
Oh, what a wonderful day.
Good, good. Yeah. Even though it's raining, it's still a nice day.
Doesn't matter.
That's right. Good. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah. And for further information, you all have a website.
Oh, yeah, Packers.com. Oh, goodness sakes. Oh, my goodness. Everything you need to know.
And if you wanted to get a secondary bid on a ticket to come to a game?
Yep. Go to the NFL website or go to the Packers website. You can always get a ticket for the game. Always.
Okay.
Never have to go without. My name is Candy Conard.
Candy, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin at the Green Bay Packers Mothership.
Mothership.
Once they come here and they see the green and gold, we hook them with all the other really cool things that we have in the community. So,
let's say if I were around tomorrow and we could go do something, where would you take me?
Well, we're a place where families can come. We're also a place where empty nesters are pretty happy too. So we have local wineries and breweries that are really evolving in the Midwest, and Green Bay is a pretty good hub for that type of activity. We grow our own grapes here and even our own hops in some cases.
Oh, really?
So
for your local brews?
For the local breweries, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have one brewery that actually grows them at our Green Bay Botanical Garden, so they work with a major attraction in the area. Hey, there's no better place to grow something than at a botanical garden.
How cool. And you mentioned growing grapes. Do they also make wine here?
Yeah, they do. Our wineries, while they grow the grapes here, they also bring grapes into the area for great varietals of their wines. And I think because we're that cold weather destination, our grapes taste a little bit different than you would see in California or even France. But it's that sweetness that it gives it its own unique flavor.
Very cool. Okay, so what other things would you do? Friends showing up, where would you take them?
Well, of course, we would have to go to Lambeau Field to do a stadium tour. I think you really get a sense of what the football team means to the community. And then there are the trolley tours throughout the community, city tours. And while you're in town, you should go to the National Railroad Museum, check out our shopping districts. I mean, there's just so much to do. We couldn't do it all in one day.
It's a lot of locally owned restaurants, I understand, here.
Right. You know, our locally owned restaurants are entrepreneurial. You know, we have young, up-and-coming chefs in the area. And so culinary is big. We have candy stores and cheese shops and everything that a culinary traveler would absolutely love to see.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. In a little town of 100,000?
Yeah. Right. While we have 100,000 in our city proper, our metro area is about 250,000. And people throughout the community, we all view ourselves as small town America. And the traveling public really loves to engage with the farmers, the field to fork types of experiences. And also, they like to meet the entrepreneurs and the young people who are building up businesses here in Green Bay.
And speaking of farmers and surrounding farms, I missed it, but I understand you have not one, but two weekly farmers markets.
We do. In the downtown Green Bay area, we have a Wednesday farmers market that is a real social occasion for young professionals. But then there are the shoppers as well. Our Saturday market is pretty serious produce. So if you're interested in canning or things of that nature, I know I do that personally, that's the place to go.
Very cool. Brenda, for further information?
GreenBay.com. And we have full calendar of events, all the different types of attractions that are available here in the area.
Very cool. Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX.